Amen. Anyone heard any good April Fools? We've still got time. About 45 minutes. Was there? What was on Facebook this morning? Oh, I like that one. You get so far, but then you run aground, wouldn't you, Steve? We've done that before, you and I. So absolutely. Did you hear about the Whopper? The Easter chocolate Burger King Whopper. So you've got you're getting there. Yes, that's right. Yes, chocolate burger in the bun. No, it doesn't fry very well, does it? But there we are. Anyway, look, I'll be honest with you. I thought I was reading another April Fool when I opened the paper and glanced at the headlines this morning. Asked in an interview about the New Testament account of Jesus rising from the tomb, I'm tempted not to say his name. It might be more polite. A senior church figure said, "I don't think any of us actually knows, quite frankly." And I honestly thought I was reading an April Fool until I got to grips with it. At least Bishop Nazir Ali was on hand to straighten things out, and he said, "There was plenty of evidence in the Bible to support the simplest explanation of the empty tomb. Christ rose from the dead." Should we try that again? Christ rose from the dead. Amen. There are many things this senior figure may not know, but there's enough for him to preach the Easter faith confidently and to strengthen the faith of others rather than sow doubt and confusion at this central time in our calendar. Now, actually, I think the Archbishop, I've let you know who it is now. I shouldn't have done that. May have backtracked some since. It's the Archbishop of Wales, not Canterbury. May have backtracked since, and I wonder if he was misrepresented in the first interview. You know how these things go. But you have to be so careful with our words. And I want very much to warn you on this April Fool's Day, there's enough fool's gold out there. There's enough false religion out there. There's enough twisting of the truth out there. And we need to hold fast to this central truth. Jesus Christ is risen indeed. And let's apply that truth to our hearts and to our minds this morning. I have four simple thoughts out of this passage, which I hope will enable you to apply this truth to your life, to live with it, to trust it, to go on with the Lord Jesus. Not just today, not just this week, but this whole year until we do this Easter thing again. And the first thing, the most wonderful thing, is that we see in these ladies here the power of strong love for Christ. The power of strong love for Christ. What it must have taken in their hearts to get them up and out that morning. To rise early in the dark, as indeed some of us did this morning, to be down on the walls. To take up the spices they had prepared to anoint the body. And to go out into the darkness. And they knew they were going against their whole community. The community leaders opposed what they were doing. They would probably meet the Roman soldiers along the way. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I wouldn't like to meet armed soldiers early in the morning when they're guarding something and I want to get in. Would you? And then there was the stone. How could they move the stone? All in all, what they risked stepping out that morning was everything. Their status in society, their lives. They risked everything. With Jesus' death, they had an opportunity to walk away from everything that had been going on for the last 3 years. I imagine that's what quite a lot of people did. They could have avoided all the obvious problems and unpleasantnesses that would have followed being on the wrong side of a political fallout. They could have just slipped back into society and disappeared. Their leader is dead. The movement is finished, isn't it? But instead they don't. What is in their hearts to get them up and out that morning? What is in their hearts? What love keeps you going like this? Does God's love keep you going like this? They're determined to try and do what they know to be right. And only the deep, deep love of the Lord will enable someone to behave like this. What strong faith they must have had. How deeply they must have both understood and felt the grace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ in the days leading up to his death, for it to have the imprint on their lives even now after his death that they want to do this. Their hearts were not dark. Their hearts must have been full of light. Despite the loss, despite the not yet light mourning, they seem sure that what they are going out to do is the right thing to do, and by God's grace, they will be victorious. Otherwise, they wouldn't go, would they? They're willing to risk so much. How true the words of the Song of Solomon are. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. The wider reading is this. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is fierce as the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. When God puts his love in our hearts, it's a seal on our lives. And it shows through in these actions. And I suppose the first lesson is to ask the question, do I feel this love this morning? Am I acting in this way this morning? Is this where I'm at? Is this where you're at? If it's where I'm at, then what must I do to be like these ladies? If it's not where I'm at, what must I do to grow up to be like these ladies? Must we not remember what was so obvious and vital and real to them? What they could not possibly be confused about. Hell is horrible. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God through the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal life. They must have known and understood the horror of hell because that's what they were watching in the darkness on Friday. You remember we talked about that when we were here. But in their hearts, by God's grace, is the antidote to that, is the escape from that. They knew the cost that Christ had paid, and therefore they had great faith that they with him would escape the flames. Jesus, as he taught the disciples after dinner at the Pharisee's house, when that sinful woman came in and washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair, had said, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. Now, that's not an encouragement to go out and commit some heinous crime so as you can say sorry to God. To experience more love. It's a challenge to let us understand that the sins we've done are heinous enough, and God loves us this much that while we are still sinners, he sent Christ to Calvary for us. And on this morning, just before they know he's risen and alive and all of that, is it not clearest to us the power of the love of God in the heart of a man or a woman to stir them to keep going? Is that love in your hearts this morning? We stay with the ladies for our second thought. We can learn a lot from the ladies of Scripture. We should never set them aside or give them a second place. We see here the difficulties that believers face sometimes disappear as we approach them. They rightly ask the question, how are we going to move the stone? I don't wish to besmirch the ladies. They were probably very fit and strong, but still they felt three of them was not enough to move the stone. Yet they go, not knowing. Indeed, perhaps honestly fearing that they may not be able to do what they intend to do on their own and will have to seek some help or some assistance as they get there on their way, or perhaps return with stronger friends to enable them. But in the going, in the exercise of faith, in the working out of the love that God has put in their hearts, they find the Lord has gone before them. Now that can't be our expectation for absolutely everything in life, that would be foolishness. But I would like to suggest to you this morning that it ought to be our expectation in so much more of what we do in life. Too often we allow the worry of today, the worry of tomorrow, or the ideas of what might happen today to stop us doing what is clearly the will of God. Again, we must be mindful. Sin remains in the world, temptation in our lives, and this clouds our vision. It mars our ability to see the Lord Jesus at work and the works that he has done and understand the impact of them. It mars our ability to see what he's doing right now and the impact of that. And it mars our ability to see just how great a future he has in store for us. And so when we step out in faith, when we put into practice the love that he's put in our hearts, oh, how often, as with Mary and Salome, do we find, as they found, the outcome is so much better than that which we thought it might be. Their doubts and alarms are groundless, and so it can be with us when we step out in faith. Friends, let's pray for more of this practical faith. Let's believe in the doing of the works that God has ordained for us to do. We will never entirely be left alone. He will walk with us. He will go before us. What did we hear as we studied Isaiah and we remembered the Exodus? He was both our leader and our rear guard. To borrow from Pilgrim's Progress, do you remember the lions? They are chained. If you never read Pilgrim's Progress, read it. Good book. But the lions are scary, but they're chained, and there is a path through the middle, and they cannot touch you. Do you remember the book of Job? The devil himself has to ask God's permission. He's only a fallen angel after all. To take this to the larger question, too often we hear the non-believer say, I can't believe there's a God when there is so much hurt in the world. What we're saying is that the truth is actually the other side of the coin. And actually you have simple answers, simple examples from your life. And there are great big examples in international things where you can answer that. Because the truth is this, if God were not restraining evil, if God were not going before us, if God were not doing all that he is doing that is good in this world, it would be so much worse. The horror of sin would be appalling if God were not restraining, if God were not going before. And Jesus on the cross and the darkness say that to us. Hell is where God is not blessing. Hell is a worse place than this world now. It is never true to say it's hell on earth, because hell is worse than anything we can experience in this life. In a sense, friends, we need to reclaim the doctrine of the horror of hell. And there we will find the love of the Lord and his restraining hand are more clear to us as we step out in faith. Love in our hearts, the love of the Lord Jesus. Faith in our lives, stepping out for him. Thirdly, in this text, we see the veil between the physical and the spiritual realms is not as solid as perhaps we think. And we have no cause to fear angels. Instead, indeed, we should be hopeful of meeting them. Our minds should be somewhat in the eternal, in the spiritual. Even if, sadly, angels are rare in our world at this time, which they are, we should be ready to meet them. Is that your hope? Is that your expectation? Is that why your heart sings today? Because you might meet an angel. You might meet a whole host of angels, because they'll be accompanying the Lord Jesus when he comes. They'll be with him if we go there tonight. Friends, let's not go angel hunting. There's enough ghost hunters and spirit hunters, and they're wasting their time, and the devil sends all sorts of tricks to befuddle them. If we look hard enough, we'll find the evidence to prove anything. That's the human condition. But we mustn't go angel hunting. But we must be ready to meet the Lord Jesus and the heavenly host. I can confidently say that within 100 years, indeed a much shorter time for many of us, we will be having conversations with angels. We will. Yeah, maybe not you, young man, if God grants 120. You see, our Lord will return, or we will go to be with him. And we will enter the spiritual realm. We don't need to be afraid of this. We need to be hopeful of it. We need to be expectant of it. We need to be thinking without losing our earthly good. We need to be waiting for that day. It needs to be full in our hearts. Let's be ready to meet the angels, and let's be ready to meet our Lord. And let's remember, we'll have no reason to be afraid of them. Indeed, it will be a glorious moment. All those who love the Lord and through faith are doing his works after him, we will rise from the grave. Indeed, we'll be able to walk into the tomb and out again as these ladies do. They will face death as we will face death as they did. We will stand tall and walk again. We will come through the experience and we will enter the spiritual realm, and it will be wonderful. That is where the love that he has put in our hearts, that works out in faith, leads us to cling to it, hope for it, desire it. Finally, this morning, let us be reminded of the exceeding kindness of God towards us when we fall short, for we will. See what the angels have to say for the 11 disciples. Let's just look at verses 6 and 7. Don't be alarmed, the angel said. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go. Tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Oh, how generous and gracious this message is to them and to us, especially gracious to Peter. Let's not forget what happened the night before last. Yeah? The night before last, Peter had said, "Nah, don't know this one. Never met Jesus. I'm not his friend." And here, on Easter Sunday morning, to the most backslidden of all, if that's possible, it's not mine to judge, but I think that's the picture that's painted for us of Peter. For he walked for 3 years with the Lord in the inner circle of the disciples. He was the one who proclaimed that great statement in the middle of Mark's gospel. You know, he named Jesus as the Messiah. And now he denies knowing him 3 times. I think that's the picture painted for us. Peter the failure, Peter the backslidden. Surely there's no hope for him. Surely he's lost. Can he be rescued? 3 strikes and you're out. Surely we'd say that today, wouldn't we? Perhaps you watched the football yesterday, like Sadio Mane in the Liverpool Crystal Palace game. He deserved the second yellow card. Should have gone. Should have been gone. Shouldn't have been on the pitch. But he escaped. The ref got it wrong, I think. Crystal Palace fans almost certainly think he did. In Peter's case, there's no mistake. It's not an escape. It's not an accident. It's the considered grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to even this one. So he singles him out. Go tell the disciples and Peter. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. Jesus was pardoning a sinner. And friends, if Peter can be pardoned, I can be pardoned, you can be pardoned. We can all be pardoned when we slip up and fall. If Christ is ready to forgive Peter, then he's ready to forgive all of us. The challenge to us, I think, is very simple. Go and see the place, says the angel. Step inside. See the place where he was laid. But don't stay there. Go and tell others what you have seen. If Christ is ready to forgive Peter and all of us, then friends, should we not be those who will go and share this good news with other people? If God is willing to forgive me, if God has forgiven you, should we not hold forgiveness open freely to other people? Should we not speak of this Easter message, this love that works in faith, that leads to glory, that forgives a sinner? Should we not share it with other people? Should we not offer the forgiveness that we have received? Our Father God in heaven, will you help us, please, to be a people who love and serve you. Pour out your love into our hearts again today. Let us, Lord, understand the love of the Lord Jesus for us. Father, will you cause it to work in faith in our lives? Send God the Holy Spirit to encourage us, to not give in to the temptations, to step out in faith, knowing that you go before. Lord Jesus, we would do your works after you. Give us both the love and the faith so to do. Father, will you please fill our hearts with a hope of eternal things, of conversations with angels, and of meeting you, Lord Jesus, face to face. Let us not forget that we're led to eternity, that the Lord Jesus Christ lives forever with his saints to reign. Father, when we fall, help us remember your grace to restore and to use again, even Peter, even me. Lord, may we be those who proclaim the truth of the resurrection, the love and the faith revealed in it, and the hope of heaven to those we meet. May we say to them, up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Lord Jesus Christ, we are so grateful that you are risen again. We say hallelujah, Christ arose. Amen.